His head hurt from the concentration it took to speak Galactic Ten rapidly. Not that he expected the Brothers of the Night to believe his was the voice of one of their missing scouts. That didn't matter to his plan. All he wanted to do was stir up their interest before the final jab. He switched frequency and pursed his lips in preparation to speaking Galactic 12. Actually, this was fun. It distracted him from his exhaustion and hunger and satisfied his aesthetic sense, even if it did mean everyone and his client would be down here shortly, all looking for him. Ha-ha, warriors! Ha-ha, ab Klepko, ab Puber, ab Soro, ab Ho! Inform the Soro fleet mistress we have news! Tom chuckled as he thought of a pun that could only be phrased in Galactic 12, and which, nevertheless, he was sure the Soro would never get. Chapter 98. Jillian. Something was making the fleets shift all of a sudden. Small squadrons raveled off the battered fleets and joined tiny groups from Kithrop's moons, all heading toward the planet. As they merged, the groups swirled about and tiny explosions took the place of individual lights. What in the world was going on? Whatever it was, Jillian felt a glimmer of opportunity.
Dr. Baskin! Jillian?
Bishop's voice came over the comm speaker.
We're getting radio traffic from the planet's surface again. It's from a single transmitter, but it keeps putting out stuff in different galactic languages. Yet I swear they all sound like one voice.
He leaned forward and touched a switch.
I'm on my way up, Tish. Please call half of the off-duty shift to stations. We'll let the others rest a while longer.
He switched off the unit.
Oh, Tom, she thought.
He hurried out the door.
Why this? Couldn't you have come up with anything more elegant, anything less desperate?
Of course he couldn't, she chided herself as she ran down the hallway.
Come on, Jill, the least you can do is not be a nag.
In moments she was on the bridge, listening for herself. Chapter 100. Toshio. Cornered, Toshio couldn't even climb a tree. They were too close and would be on him the instant they heard him move. He could hear them as they spiraled closer, tightening the noose. Toshio clutched his needler and decided he had better attack first, before they were close enough to support each other. It would be a small handgun against armored machines and high-powered lasers, and he was no marksman like Tom Orley. In fact, he had never fired at a sentient being before, but it beat waiting here. He crouched and began to crawl to his right toward the shoreline. He tried not to snap any twigs, but a minute after leaving his hiding place, he flushed some small animal, which fled noisily through the bushes. Immediately, he heard the noise of approaching mechanicals. Toshio slithered quickly under a thick bush, only to emerge facing the broad footpad of a spider.
Gotcha, gotcha.
There was a squeal of triumph. He looked up to meet the mad eye of Srikapal. The fin leered as he commanded the spider to lift its leg. Toshio rolled aside as the foot crashed down where his head had been. He reversed direction, avoiding a kick. The mechanical reared back, bringing both front legs into play. Toshio saw no place to turn. He fired a small pistol against the armored belly of the machine, and tiny needles ricocheted harmlessly into the forest. The triumphant whistle was pure primal.
Gotcha.
Then the island began to shake. The ground heaved up and down. Toshio was jounced right and left, and his head hit the loam rhythmically. The spider teetered, then crashed backward into the forest. The shaking accelerated. Toshio somehow rolled over onto his stomach. He fought the oscillations to rise to his knees. There was a crunching sound as two spider riders stumbled into the clearing. One crashed past Toshio in panic. The other, though, saw him and squawked in wrath. Toshio tried to hold out his needler, but the island's trembling began to turn into a list. It became a race between him and the mad dolphin to see who could aim and fire first. Then both of them were staggered by a scream that echoed within their heads.
"Bad, bad ones! Leave us alone!"
It was a roar of rejection that made Toshio moan and grab at his temples. The needler slipped out of his grasp and fell to the rapidly tilting ground. The dolphin whistled shrilly as its spider collapsed in convulsions. It wailed in a foxhole lamentation.
"Sorry, sorry, patron, forgive, forgive."
Toshio stumbled forward.
"Forgiven,"
he managed to say as he hurried past. He couldn't deal with the fin's schizoid conversion.
"Come this way if you can,"
he called back as he tried to make it to the shore. The noise in his head was like an earthquake. Somehow, Toshio managed to stay on his feet and stumble through the forest. When he reached the edge of the mound, the sea was a froth below. Toshio looked right and left and saw no place that looked any better. At that moment, a scream of engines pealed forth. He looked back to see a tornado of broken vegetation fly up from a spot only 100 meters away. The gunmetal gray longboat rose above the rapidly tilting forest. It was surrounded by a glowing nimbus of ionization. Toshio's hackles rose as the island was swept by a throbbing anti-gravity field. The boat turned slowly and seemed to hesitate. Then, with a thunderclap, it speared into the eastern sky. Toshio crouched as the boom whipped at him, tugging at his clothes. There was no time to delay. Either Charles Dart had got away, or he hadn't. Toshio pulled his mask up over his face, held it with one hand, and leapt.
"Ifni's boss," he prayed,
and he fell into the stormy waters. Chapter 101 Galactics. Above the planet, small flotillas of battered warships paused suddenly in their multi-sided butchery. They had left hiding places on Kithrop's tiny moons, gambling all on the chance that the strange radio broadcasts from the planet's northern hemisphere were indeed of human origin. On their way down to Kithrop, the tiny alliances sniped at each other with their waning strength, until a sudden wave of psychic noise hit the entire motley ensemble. It rose from the planet with a power none could have expected, overwhelming psi shields and striking crews temporarily motionless. The ships continued to plunge toward the planet. Their living crews blinked limply, unable to fire their weapons or guide their vessels. If it had been a weapon, the psychic shout would have cleansed half of the ships of their crews. As it was, the mental scream of anger and rejection reverberated within their brains, driving a few of the least flexible completely mad. For long moments, the cruisers drifted out of formation, uncontrolled, downward into the upper fringes of the atmosphere. Finally, the sigh scream began to fade. The grating anger growled and diminished, leaving burning afterimages as the numb crews slowly came to their senses. The Zatini and their clients, having drifted away from the others, looked about and discovered that they had lost their appetite for further fighting. They decided to accept the pointed invitation to depart. Their four ragged ships left Kithemene's system as quickly as laboring engines could manage. The J-8-lek were slow coming around. After succumbing to the numbing mind scream, they drifted in amongst the ships of the Brothers of the Night. The Brothers awakened sooner and used the J-8-lek for target practice. sophisticated autopilots,